Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
That's Dennis Halnan, one of the employee owners at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And on the line, we have our favorite geek, Wes Bryan from IT Pro TV. You there, Wes?
I am, Eric. Good morning, Eric. Good morning, Dennis. And, well, good morning, New England.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Wes.
How are you doing today?
Eh, not too bad, I guess. I mean, it's a typical morning in New England. It's hot and sticky and muggy.
Yeah. We definitely have a little bit of that here down in the sand pile, for sure.
Sand pile.
I've been listening to you all this morning. I tune in, believe it or not. I stalk you all in the background, and I have to tell you, you know, I really love what you guys are doing for the community, and I agree with the last gentleman you talked to. We really need geeks in the industry. So how's everything going, everybody?
Yeah, everything's going good. We appreciate you listening in there, and let's get some more geeks, and what Jeff is doing is important. Actually, you brought up Jeff, so we'll bring up something that somebody reached out to us about.
Oh, yeah. On Facebook, a commenter mentioned that the VA has people that can help with resumes.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, if you are still listening, call up the VA, and they should be able to help you with that resume.
Definitely. And there's other training out there, because I've helped train vets, too. There's the 8570, so check out that. There might even be a way that they can help get training and stuff. So,
very good.
Definitely something to look into.
Now, today, we're talking about network fundamentals a bit. You're working on a course you had mentioned, and we can talk about all the ways that companies and people can get connected to a network or the network or however you want to put it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we've been one of the things that I wanted to do is I want to kind of strip off some of the certifications for this, and which anybody that wants to just kind of learn, maybe you don't want to go for a certification, but you want to have knowledge, you want to be able to have that conversation. So we're basically starting from the local area networks, working our way right to the demarcation point, and then we're talking about this week, like, you know, we've been talking about things like WAN links. So, you know, how... It's a little bit different. When we talk about connecting our LANs, we're typically talking about Ethernet. But when we're talking about connecting to the ISP's networks, we definitely have some considerably different technologies that require translation. And I'm sure you're aware of a lot of them. Even though some of them have kind of gone by the wayside, some of them still do exist, whether it's over traditional PSTN lines or we're talking about faster networks like things like synchronous optical networking or SONET. Synchronous Digital Hierarchy, as it's called in the UK.
Yeah, we've got to an interesting one where we picked up an account that had over 100 seats, and they had been running on a public scheme. So all of those 100 seats were in a public IP scheme in order for them to get to the internet. And of course, we had to re-IP them, which was painful and still going on. But they have been running that way forever because nobody wanted – all the prior IT companies didn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And it's a mess, right? We had to reconfigure every device to not be on this public IP scheme. And they're only on the public IP scheme out of the goodness of the heart of a third party who happened to buy the IP range as part of a sale of a company. I mean, they literally were 20 minutes away from having all their systems turned off, right? Because that IP scheme is public and it could be given up at any time. They didn't own it. And so this type of stuff can get kind of messy if nobody takes care of it. You know, you mentioned, maybe you didn't mention, but MPLS was pretty mm-hmm. popular. SD-WAN is something that's out there. It's coming along as being even more popular. Do you guys get into the nitty gritty of talking about this type of stuff in your training?
We do. Definitely in more of the certification trainings where you have to learn a little bit more about, you know, MPLS and how it determines the shortest path first, you know, based on labels. Versus things like TCP/IP routing, you know, we talk about it. Where does it sit in the network stack? You know, it's kind of considered one of those 2.5. If you're looking at the data link layer, right, it sits in a little bit above the data link layer, a little bit below the network layer. Very versatile in the fact that, you know, when we look at the name, I always tell the people that are learning about the acronyms that, hey, yeah, it is alphabet soup, but if you can break down the acronyms and just kind of think about what the acronym's saying, it's multi-protocol, and that's one of the best things about it is the fact that it's so versatile in the fact that you can have all of these different higher-level protocols that can be transported across it. It's kind of agnostic. One of the questions I'd ask you is, do you all still see things like, for instance, our T-carrier lines? Do you also still see people using fractional lines today, in today's day and age?
Fractional T's are pretty rare.
I can't recall coming across one since I've been working at DAB.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's probably somebody there that's got that.
There are
I would think so.
There are PRIs that are out there, which is also kind of a fractional T. They could even be synonymous. I think there is a little bit of a difference between the two.
Definitely. And for our listeners out there, you know, the people that want to be the geeks, just, you know, when we talk about wavelengths traditionally going all the way back to the 60s, you know, it's been channelized architecture, and it usually goes across compared to something known as the DS signals, digital signal hierarchy. And, you know, depending on how much bandwidth you need is what you're going to pay for. And it's interesting because it's not a shared bandwidth, right? It's not like we talk about at residential or even small business where you're on a shared network. When we talk about these dedicated lease lines, you know, we're talking about for those that still remember landlines, you know, it's like dialing long distance when that still used to be a thing that you had to consider and leaving that phone off the hook the entire time you have that line.
Mm-hmm.
But just knowing that the digital signal hierarchy, the way the channelized architecture works, typically broken down into 64 kilobyte chunks, still does exist today. Like you said, the aggregate of 23 of those lines being a PRI line today. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've been teaching things like, for instance, you know, what is a ring network? Because in local area networks, we don't see ring networks anymore.
No.
You know,
no.
I mean, I think the last ones we were having a fiber distributed data interface, nobody wants to set those up anymore because not only are they obsolete, they're extremely expensive. But
right.
We still have ring networks when we talk about local collector rings and, you know, the high-speed backbone rings of Sonnet. And it being a self-healing fiber optic technology, we're teaching things like optical carriers and, you know, how that is still all that channelized architecture. And even though things like ATM and frame relay have kind of gone by the wayside, those standards still do exist, and it's still something that you see when it comes into the DMARC, you know, that if it's a commercial DMARC that like AT&T comes in and installs themselves and connects you down your single fiber optic line, you can still see on the back of those DMARCs, those DS signals. So it's still, that part of it's still relevant today, and it's one of the reasons I teach it. I do teach a little bit of the history, but we go quickly through the history of the stuff that doesn't really, isn't applicable today.
Right. So what I think you've just talked about, Wes, because you're pretty geeky even for me, is channelizing fiber. Because it is true, just because you have a big fiber connection, they do segment it and channelize it when you're connected. So don't think you're on this one piece of fiber is covering everything. They actually split it out, right? Into the same concepts that they used to split out copper is what you kind of just said, which was the old the T1s. And that's kind of an interesting thing that they do. I would never have guessed that except for the fact that I've been talking to NetSpeed
Yeah, well, yeah, Tom was here and he was talking about exactly that.
Yeah, yeah. And it blew my mind, right? I never would have thought that you're splitting up fiber. I figured it was one fiber cable, and they're not even using the send and receive anymore. It's one single cable that goes both ways, which is also very interesting.
Yeah, because they utilize different wavelengths, right? The different nanometers, depending on, you know, what they're doing. It's going to be a higher level nanometer. I believe it's, I want to say it's 1310 and above, and you got some that are 1550, if I remember right. I might have my number slightly off, but those are the single mode fibers, the ones that span 70 kilometers, and they use it, depending on how much money they want to spend, they can use something known as dense wavelength multiplexing, or they can use coarse wavelength multiplexing, and that's the basic concepts of multiplexing mux demux, like we've heard about throughout the years, still applies, and they're applying it to different wavelengths to be able to use a single, like you said, a single copper line and multiplex, right? Take multiple link sources and combine them into a single signal and send them over that single cable. And then on the other end, when it's coming off of their local collector rings, they do the demux, the demultiplexing, and it splits the signal and sends the individual links to the appropriate subscribers. So very, very cool technology, and it's interesting to see that, as much as many, many, many things change in networking, some of the basic concepts still are applicable today.
And that's the good thing, right? If you think about it, there's a lot of older folks that are dealing with trying to change into fiber where they should be heading.
Right.
And understanding those differences being the same. I'm not even sure do you know if it works the same way in wireless? Those signals, it's all megahertz and kilohertz and what have you. Is that same transmission of signals separated by the frequencies?
In the wireless networks, it's interesting because the media access method is a wait in line method, right? So in our local area networks, when we're using Ethernet, we're using something known as carrier sense multiple access collision detection. So the devices just send their signals kind of like a free for all, and they try to detect collisions. Well, with 802.11, which is the IEEE standard for wireless local area networks, that uses something known as, again, same first four letters, carrier sense multiple access, but collision avoidance. So big technical jargon is that every wireless client that's communicating across the wireless network has to wait in line. One of the great things that they've done is as they progress, well, it really started back in 2009 with 802.11n, and they've just been, innovating ever since. But when back in 2009, when 802.11n came in, they implemented something known as multiple in, multiple out, and to help speed up that wait in line, rather than having a single person, doing driver's license at the DMV, if that was a single antenna, what they figured is that, hey, they can have four antennas and do what's known as spatial streaming, and they can serve more than one customer, basically using ins and outs of, input, output of each antenna. And it's kind of like going to the DMV, and now they have four people helping to, take care of that line. So while it's still a wait-in-line method, the bandwidth is, we're able to increase the bandwidth. And then you get into something known as multi-user, multiple input-output, and it just it increases it. It increases the adaptive antennas, beamforming and everything. And that's just because we're seeing lots and lots of volume that is traversing wireless networks today. In fact, 802.11ax is actually expanding out of the UNII, the Unlicensed National Information Infrastructure Band.
Okay.
And what they're doing is they've actually opened up the 6 gigahertz spectrum, too. So you can see, again, back in 2009 when we started really moving out of the ISM band, the 2.4 gigahertz network, and into the 5 gigahertz network, it was because it was relatively unsaturated.
Right.
Well, that was in 2009, so we're here we are, more than a decade past that, and now we're starting to heavily saturate even the 5 gigahertz network. But the cool thing about the 5 gigahertz network, and I got to just share this real quick, is that in the 5 gigahertz network, one of the things that these brilliant engineers did is came up with a technology called DFS, called dynamic frequency selection. And it's really cool because any technology that's using that band, including your wireless access points, if you're next to an airport and your access point detects that a radar system is using one of the channels in that band, it will dynamically frequency hop to another channel to stay away from interfering with things like radar. So a lot of great technologies, but the main thing here is How do we put so much information over a wireless communication
right.
and not make it feel like we have the single person at the DMV, taking
right.
care of everybody?
And then, I had meant the question in a wide area network question, but you took it in the local area network side of things, which is fine. That everything you said was extremely interesting to me. I thought it was cool.
Definitely.
What we are literally seeing is that clients are considering business grade wireless, cellular wireless. And I was curious if the cellular wireless worked on the same, channelized ideas as the fiber you mentioned, but it probably works the same as the internal Wi-Fi networks that you just described. They're probably using, again, multiple antennas to handle the it's probably still a weight type of approach. Or do you know anything different about that? Because these businesses are literally considering like a T-Mobile business grade wireless connection to support 50 users in their office, which is interesting.
Absolutely. LTE forms the basis for our 5G technologies, and LTE It was the one that kind of won out in competing technologies versus something known as WiMAX, the wireless interoperability for microwave access. And that was a wireless metropolitan type communication technology. But like any wireless technology, it has limitations. LTE being on a cellular network, obviously had that greater range. And that was another thing that we were talking about this last week. Was wireless wide area networks and the fact that we can use 4G and 5G communications now, and you're no longer tethered, to your local area networks. And another thing is you don't really have to hop on the kind of sketchy Wi-Fi at a hotel.
Right.
So it gives you that mobility, and there's definitely the bandwidth. I mean, we're seeing things like Ethernet today where they're working on, committees right now are working on 400G Ethernet. So now you're seeing some of those technologies that traditionally were used in the WAN or the LAN technology due to its limitations that we're starting to see, that breach into where the speeds can keep up even over a wide area network.
Very cool stuff, Wes, as always. And believe it or not, we've come through our total of our segment here. But if you want to watch Wes do what he just did, and he does it as his day job, IT Pro TV, they do a great job training people to become geeks or just to understand the technology. You don't have to become a geek, although we need you to be. If you go to computertalkwithtab.com and go to our links there, you'll see a link to IT Pro TV. It's 30% off, and you can decide to get certified in something or just connect to some of the courses that they have out there, and you will definitely run into Wes talking about something. And you'll get a better understanding for the underlying technology. And they do a really good job of explaining, and they have some great labs, too, that you can then take to see if you want to apply that knowledge and maybe get certified. So, Wes, as always, you've filled our heads with all sorts of things and have made our hair hurt.
alphabet soup, man. But, I just like to say thank you, to you guys. You guys just do an amazing job. Where it's the clients that you support. Or, again, I've been stalking you. I listen to you all, whether I'm on the radio or not. Just the people in your area that you support as well. So I really appreciate it likewise.
Yeah, we'll check in with you again next month for a topic. And, we'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Everybody there out in the New England area, you all have a great weekend.
All right, take it easy. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
We're here till 11 o'clock. Get online, 860-522-9842. And I'm serious about Wes. He knows what he's talking about, as you can tell. And he does a good job explaining it to everybody. So let's get right back to your calls. And we're going to go to Ken in Thomaston next. What's going on, Ken?
Hey, how are you?
Good,
Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I have a WD My Cloud, which is on the verge of collapse.
Yes.
Okay. It connects and it runs for a little bit, and then the light goes off in the front, and then I can't see the drive anymore.
Yep.
So I thought that I had lost everything, and then I try it two or three times, and finally it got it to connect where I was able to see it. I think I need to transfer whatever the heck is onto another one of them.
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure what you recommend.
I would recommend two approaches. Get an external. So the MyCloud, as far as I'm concerned, is a backup of your data. But I got a feeling in your case, it's a primary storage of your data, right?
No, it's not a backup.
It is a backup?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, right. So the criticality has just dropped tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's just that I do not know whether or not I still have all of this stuff.
Right.
On that computer.
Correct.
It's the backup of stuff that, yeah.
Yeah. No, fair enough. But at least it's not your primary source, so you're not freaking out.
No.
An easy way to take care of that would be to plug a hard drive into it as a USB drive and just copy it from the NAS over to that USB drive, copy the data from within the tool, if you can get it to stay awake long enough.
Right.
Yeah, there's on the back, there is a Ethernet connection and a
USB plug.
Yeah, that's a super speed USB plug.
Super speed.
That's what it stands for.
So what has to happen is you go out and get a drive that's big enough to cover that NAS, and you have to, I think, log into the NAS, though.
Yes.
And tell it to copy the data.
Yeah, and it may have to format the drive for whatever file system that it wants to use. And from there, you should be able to tell it to copy.
When you say a drive, you're talking about another thing like this one.
Nope, I'm not. So do you have a time, Ken, to hang on a little bit? We came up against the bottom of the hour real quick.
Yep.
All right, well, hold on. We're going to put you on hold, and we'll cover this a little more because it's kind of important. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Everything we talk about is posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And you got Mike G posting it over to Facebook, and he's got posting it on Twitter at Tab Computer Sys if you want to get it there. So plenty of ways to get the news that we talked about in the link, so you don't have to remember them. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We are back. Let's get right to Ken out there in Thomaston. He was talking about his dying NAS. You still there, Ken?
Yes, I am.
All right. So Dennis had some theories because of we deal with these types of NASs often, and we were talking about having an external hard drive added to the NAS, and there's reasons why.
Right. And with those Western Digital drives, the NAS drives, the light status is very often connected with the Ethernet status. Mm-hmm. So if there's something going on with the Ethernet controller that's causing it to fail, then the light may go out, but that doesn't mean that the drive is off. So if you're able to plug just a normal external USB drive, not a NAS drive, but just a plain USB external drive into the back of it, and then from the interface of the NAS, set up the copy to copy from the original drive to the new one, you should be able to get that started. And even if that light goes out later, that copy operation may still continue. Mm-hmm. I can't promise that it absolutely will. I just think that there's a chance it could. And it's worth trying.
All right, so I'm buying a new external drive.
Mm-hmm. Right, but not a NAS drive, just a plain old USB.
Yep. Right. Connect it to my PC.
Not the PC. Connect it to the back of the NAS drive. Remember that SS slot that you saw?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to plug it into that.
All right. Now, this is an external hard drive that has a USB out connection.
Mm-hmm.
Is that most of the little drives that I've seen, external drives, are those little SSD ones? We're not talking about one of those.
As long as it has the capacity you need.
Yeah, if it has the same capacity as the original NAS drive,
or bigger.
Couple, but they don't have a USB port on.
You could convert them. You can go and buy a USB adapter to convert whatever drive you have into an external USB.
Or a drive enclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yep. So, all right. I was thinking, so I have to. And then...
Then what you would do is you'd get into the interface for the NAS.
Right.
Log into it. Right. And it should tell you that you now have another drive connected. And it may even give you a wizard to ask you what you want to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And once you've gotten it set up, then from inside of that, inside the interface, you should be able to set up a copy operation.
Okay. All right.
From one to the other.
With that. One other question. I also have an iOmega drive.
Mm-hmm.
It says iOmega 1 on it.
Yeah. Okay. That's old.
Yeah, yeah. They were a big vendor of those things, what, in the 90s?
90s, yeah.
Okay, so I was going to say, I couldn't tell even how old it was. I lost the power cable. I didn't know if it was worth even trying to.
Well, if you got the next great novel on it and you want to figure it out, yes.
Yeah, no, I don't. I didn't know if you could take it apart of that drive. Could that be accessed normally? Probably not, right?
Normally is a strong word. iOmega, what is going to? I don't remember how it interfaced, but they were disks, right?
Well, they made a whole line of stuff. You're thinking of those high capacity diskette drives
those
that they used to
iOmega.
Make.
Is it a little purple
or
diskette?
Zip drives or whatever they called them?
This is the square white one.
All right,
square.
It's white. It looks a little bit like that. The MyCloud WD drive.
Hmm.
But instead of being rectangular like the little book. This is square, white top. This is iOmega.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember where I got it from, and I didn't know what I backed up on it. But then I lost the power cable, and, of course,
right.
You know, they're all. So, okay. And then one more question. That is, if I do have some old drives that I've taken out of other PCs,
mm-hmm.
I saved for some reason.
Yeah.
Unsure what the heck was on them.
Right.
I can get an enclosure. Normally get an enclosure so try to connect those to a PC to access them,
yep.
even if they haven't been run in a while.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then you'd recommend what kind of enclosure?
It depends on the drive, right? If you have an old...
IDE drive.
Right. So if you have an old IDE ribbon-style drive, it may not... There may not be that many enclosures that adapt IDEs to USB power them.
The magic bullet search that you're going to perform is for PATA drive, capital P as in Peter, A-T-A, not SATA with Sam, A-T-A.
Right. That's old school stuff.
But you should still be able to find them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're around. You just have to be very clear as to what you're getting.
The iOmega drive, I had it for so long. I just noticed they never took the plastic off of the outside.
Yeah, you start taking it apart, it's probably going to not work again.
And that iOmega 1 may be a NAS drive.
Yeah, you looking it up?
Yeah.
I was. There's some of them that I see on eBay.
Jeez. So you could probably get the power adapter
If you can get power into it, you should be able to get it going.
It only has three USB ports, and then it has a...
Ethernet.
It has one of those like printer ports on the back, you know, the square connector.
A thick one of the printer, one of the...
one of those. I don't know what they call them.
It would interface the printer on the other side of the printer versus the USB side.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure what the interface is called.
Centronics?
No, he's talking about a little square one.
It's not the same USB signal on there, you know, the little symbol.
It's a special style of cable. Probably proprietary, too. Could be.
Yeah, it could have been. I lost everything on it, so except the drive. So
talk about some old stuff, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And one last recommendation for anybody out there that's got, like, thousands of pictures like I do, scattered over different PCs and such, file duplication or, like, photos that are duplicated four different times.
Right.
Recommend any software these days to try to...
To deduplicate? Yeah. There probably is software out there to dedupe the same named files. But if you've taken rapid shots, like 16 rapid shots of a sports move, they're all different file names. But there's probably dedupe software out there. We could look it up. Carmen's listening down there in Florida, one of our digital camera guys. Maybe he knows of dedupe software for file organization. He's on our Facebook live chat right now. Maybe he'll post something out there for us as well that we can share.
I appreciate that, because you end up with a whole bunch of things and the images are the same. So.
Yep. If the same file name, there should be some deduping we can do. Actually, TJ, the owner of the company, wrote a program for Novell servers called NetClean. I think it was NetClean. I always forget the name.
Yeah, I remember him talking about that.
Way back when Novell servers would run out of server space because a two megabit drive or something like that was very, very expensive. So cleaning space, he actually wrote a program that would dedupe and clean up Novell servers way back in the day.
Duplicate file names.
Looking for duplicate
images.
That's the snag.
Yeah.
You know, those pixels, I'm not sure if there's software out there that can look at the pixels and say, oh, yeah, these are exactly the same pixels in the exact same place. That might be tough, but we'll see what Kramer comes up with. If anybody can, he would.
All righty. Thank you very much.
You got it, Ken.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Your data and your backup is really important. So those Western Digital drives, when they went out of support, by the way, there was a big issue with them in that there became a snag in that the bad guys could remote wipe them. There was a known vulnerability that Western Digital said, yeah, we knew about it, but they're out of support. What do you want us to do? That was their approach. And the bad guys could then find these WD drives on the internet, on the networks of your home and delete them all just for fun. So here's the moral of the story. When you're using EOL end-of-life hardware, don't shoot us, the messengers here. We are not the ones that set these dates. These manufacturers do. If you continue to use end-of-life hardware, don't cry to us or any other people or IT people when something fails on it and you can't get your data back, right? There's nothing finite about this. I mean, it's almost completely finite. There's nothing infinite about data and backup that you can rely upon. Every service that's out there right now can change their mind about doing what they're doing at any moment. So if you've got your data sitting on such and such hard drive and they run out of the ability to pay for their data centers, they're going to be like, hey, you got 30 days. Take your data stuff off of here before it's all gone. you can't trust anything to be there for you, right? In the old days, when you could look at a bank and you put your money in the vault, and guess, or whatever you're putting in the vault, it's going to be there, right? Now, if you put your pictures or your data out there, the companies can just decide not to exist whenever they want to. The service can go away. The company can go away. The data center can go away. Heck, the windmill power in the power center can turn off. I mean, so what are you going to do? You have to be the person responsible for your data, whether it's in the cloud or what have you. So let's get to your calls. You guys all called us like before the end of the show. You know we start at 9, right? I don't understand what is going on here. Let's go to Jeff in Manchester. And then Carolyn wants to go to break too. So Jeff, what do you got going on? Give me a question, then we have to go to a quick break.
Okay, so I have 3 laptops that on boot to disk usage is 100%, making them unusable.
Yeah.
And I have run malware bytes and everything is fine. I have Googled the problem and tried to apply the fixes that those options presented.
Yep.
And I still get 100% disk usage. I have bought 3 Lenovos, okay, to replace these
yep.
3 computers, and I've had them running for a month, and I don't have any issues at all with them.
What operating system is on these drives that are 100%?
Windows 10.
All right. Hang on a second. We're going to do quick breaks, and Carolyn will let me come back to you in a minute, okay? Hang on.
Thanks.
All right. We're back. That was fast. Carolyn doesn't mess around. Let's go back to Jeff in Manchester. All right, Jeff. So we got some thoughts for you.
All right. Okay. Here's what I'm going to suggest for you, okay? What you're going to do is open up your services panel, and I'll tell you how to do that.
Yeah.
You're going to hit Windows R.
Yeah.
And then you're going to type services.msc, and that's Mary, Sam, Charlie.
Yeah.
Enter.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to scroll down alphabetically through the list of services, and you're going to look for one called Sysmain, S-Y-S-M-A-I-N.
Yeah.
You're going to double-click it.
Yeah.
In the Properties panel, you're going to change its status from Automatic to Manual.
Yeah.
Then you're going to stop the service. There should be a stop button.
Yeah.
And then you're going to click OK.
Yeah.
And reboot the computer.
Okay.
And see if it runs a little better that way.
Okay.
That is a service that's built into Windows that runs by default. It's called Prefetch.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses a particular logic to determine what program code you're more likely to run at any given time, and it keeps that in memory. But it also cycles through that, and it will dump back to the hard drive whatever is in excess of its memory cache.
Mm-hmm.
And on some computers with some hard drives, it essentially goes into an endless loop where it's continually reading in data, then it fills its buffer, and then it throws it back onto the drive, and then it reads the data back in, and it fills the buffer. And that's why the thing is pegged at 100%, because it's just constantly talking to the drive.
And we see a lot of this with hybrid drives.
Yeah, we see a lot of it with hybrid drives, but it can happen with any magnetic drive.
Okay, because on the Samsung, I got so frustrated, what I decided to do is just wipe the whole drive and reinstall Windows, you know, just to get a fresh copy.
Yeah.
And rebooted it up, and I have the same damn thing.
Yeah.
See if
disable, what you're essentially doing is disabling that service.
Yeah. Okay.
That may help. Give that a shot. That's the first thing I would do. It's very easy to do. It will not harm the computer. And it very well could fix it.
Okay. All right. And that's just initiated by doing a Windows R?
Windows R.
Okay.
And then services.msc.
Okay.
There is a recording of this program. You can go listen back. It's we are podcasted, so you can always listen to it again.
I got it all.
All right.
I got it all written down, so I'm fairly confident that I can do that. Well, right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time and help on this.
Well, I hope it works.
Not a problem whatsoever.
All right, Jeff.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, let's move on to Bob in Newington. What's going on here, Bob? What do you got, Bob?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Ready to cut the cord here.
Congratulations.
Going with the GoNet speed.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've got three streaming devices. I've got the Apple TV, I've got the Roku, and Fire Stick.
Wow.
Now, I got... I have to go in there and make selections of the type of programming I want. Say if I want National Geographic or Sports Channel. And those are cost extra, correct?
They can, depending on where you're getting them from.
Okay. Well, my first question is, I know local TV, not all of them, you're able to get it local TV on.
Yeah.
So I have a TV antenna, which works great.
Okay.
Power outages, I've gone to that many mm-hmm. times.
Yep.
But what concerns me is the recording of programs. I can't lose that,
right.
You know, the capability of record programs. What do I have to buy in addition to, you know, the sticks that I have here?
So if you want to do recording of programs on your antenna, you need some sort of TiVo device, which TiVo does still, I think, exist. We used to love TiVo, and it does offer DVRing of live. It had the ability to do DVR of the live antenna. Or
what about the Roku sticks?
Well, they're just, they might have this capability, but I doubt it. They're just...
Recording? No.
Yeah, they're just boxes that are going to give you the apps that you can then run your stream on. So like YouTube TV, for example, has its own DVR capabilities. You can DVR anything that's running on on YouTube TV. Check them out.
Oh, okay.
And then that way you won't even need the antenna. You'll just have your local stations through YouTube TV. It's about $69 a month. But it's a lot of channels. If you're a Red Sox or Yankees fan, you're going to be really cranky because you can't watch the games.
Nope.
So how do you record? You need a separate device.
No, you just tell it to. It's in the cloud. It's out there it's out there in the cloud for you, and it's easy to get. You can get anywhere. So I'm running out of time, of course, but okay. That's where I would tell you to look at. You look at YouTube TV and look at the DVR functions, and you'll see it's all part of the service.
Thanks.
All right, Bob.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. I want to thank Carolyn for producing. I want to thank Mike G for doing everything live. I want to thank Wes Bryan for joining us from IT Pro TV. Check it out if you want to become a geek.
We want you to be geeks too.
See you next Saturday.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.